This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
The Never-Ending Oil Story.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. $135 a barrel, the new peak for oil prices this morning. Oil is currently trading above $134. The International Energy Agency is trying to get a handle on the condition of the world's top 400 oil fields. For a long time, the IEA predicted supplies of crude would keep pace with rising demand. But the Wall Street Journal reports today the agency is now seeing red flags going up on a combination of aging oil fields and diminished investment. The IEA worries companies may be struggling to surpass 100 million barrels a day over the next couple decades. So even more supply worries, with that dollar that remains weak, means there's no end in sight for the surge. Those lucky few countries with a surplus to export are earning huge profits. That flow of money is changing not only the world's economy, but the balance of political power as well. Today, the House Foreign Affairs Committee looks at how skyrocketing oil is affecting this country's national security. John Dimsdale has a preview from Washington.
The fact is, the U.S. economy depends on an energy resource that's increasingly controlled by unfriendly governments.
High oil prices empower our enemies, and they enrich those who wish us ill.
David Sandilow, the author of Freedom from Oil, will testify oil profits allow countries like Iran and Venezuela to afford more police to enforce authoritarian rule.
If you look at what's happening in Russia today, the trend away from democracy has tracked very closely with the trend upwards in world oil prices.
And Paul Saunders, the executive director of the Nixon Center, worries geopolitical jockeying for a scarce resource could undermine free markets.
You see China's imports from Saudi Arabia growing very rapidly, and in the coming years probably overtaking American imports from Saudi Arabia.
Both Saunders and Sandilow will argue the best solution is to be free of foreign energy by switching to alternative fuels. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Coming up, we'll talk about coal power problems in China. Right now, a look at what happened on Wall Street under the weight of oil. The Dow fell 227 points yesterday to 12,601. That brings total losses over 2 days to more than 425 points. The Nasdaq was down nearly 44 points to 2448. The S&P 500 dropped 22 to 1390. Asian markets were mixed today, with the Nikkei seeing some gains. It's a mix right now in Europe. Congress is working on a bailout for hundreds of thousands of homeowners to refinance loans with government guarantees. But what about cities and counties hard hit by the mortgage meltdown? Congress takes that question up today, as Steve Henn reports.
It's not just borrowers or Bear Stearns who've taken a beating in the subprime mortgage mess.
The impact of foreclosures on neighborhoods is debilitating.
Phyllis Betts teaches urban planning at the University of Memphis, and she's studied what foreclosures are doing to properties there.
It's become quite clear that foreclosures are driving blight. Our hardest hit areas, actually, are middle class neighborhoods.
Neglected, foreclosed houses are driving property values down across entire neighborhoods. House Democrats passed the Neighborhood Stabilization Act earlier this month. That would give local governments billions to buy up abandoned properties. But the Bush administration has called the bill a bailout for lenders. The House is holding a fresh round of hearings, including one today, in hopes of winning enough new support to override the president's promised veto. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia.
So, as we mentioned at the top, oil hit a new high of $135. Analysts say another reason crude has been boosted in recent days is because of very strong demand for diesel in China. Power plants in some areas are running desperately short of coal. Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us from Shanghai. Scott, how serious is the current shortage?
The central government says there are 32 power stations that are doing nothing. They're idling right now because there's such a big coal shortage in China. And in many parts of the country, including Beijing, the power stations have less than a seven-day stockpile, which is considered dangerously low. So the big worry is China is vulnerable to a disruption, power blackouts, that kind of thing.
So what's happening here? Why can't these power plants get enough? Is it another supply issue?
A lot of it is on the supply side. China has a fair amount of coal, but what it's done in the last few months is shut down a lot of the small, dangerous mines. The other issue is transporting it. We just had this terrible earthquake in China, and the transportation links are giving the top priority to rescue items like tents and food. The other thing that's going on here in China is power plants really don't want to buy it because it's really expensive, and they sell electricity at a loss because there are price controls right now in China.
So with those energy issues happening in China, stepping back, what is the global effect on energy prices here?
Well, all of them are up, and coal is certainly part of it. Part of it is the substitution effect. You know, when coal is expensive in China or it's in short supply, some power plants use something different. They use diesel, and so that comes from crude. So that ends up pushing the price of crude, and so that affects your price at the pump, and it affects the how power plants are operating here in China. Now, the flip side of that in the United States is it's really good for the coal mining industry in Wyoming and in Appalachia in the States.
Where does China's huge appetite from coal come from?
Well, they don't call it the world's factory for nothing. It's the number two electricity user in the world. So when China starts to import whatever it is in large quantities, whether it's coal or oil or soybeans, it has a big effect on world prices.
Marketplace's Scott Tong joining us from Shanghai. Thank you, Scott.
Okay, Renina.
For more from The Morning Report, go to marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.